I am washed in the blood. I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. I am filled with the Spirit of God. The life of God is in me now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sin has no power over me. Poverty has no power over me. Depression has no power over me. I am more than a conqueror in my God. Resurrection power is in me right now in the name of Jesus. Give him a good hand clap and a shout. Woo! Yeah. Thank you, my Father. You can be seated. I'm telling you, one of the greatest secrets I ever learned about just living in victory, and that is saying the same thing God says. Saying the same thing God says. It's not about going out here and saying the right formula to everybody else, but it's about your self-talk more than anything else. It's about talking to your own heart. I tell you, when everything out here goes crazy and everything about life says, no, this is who you are, this is what you got to do, you got to give up, you can't make it, you can't live your dreams. I'm telling you, that's when you got to look in your heart and say, oh, no, this is who I am in Jesus. And now listen to me. When you speak the Word of God about who you are, don't do it like a wimp. Hello. In other words, don't say, okay, I think I'm telling you what, you get somewhere by yourself and you do it in such a way that it rattles your emotions. You do it in such a way that everything in you starts changing. You know, you do it in such a way that that these things that you're saying become your sense of reality. They bubble up inside you. They overflow out of you until you just can't feel anything but that. Anybody interested in that? I will tell you now, you can feel any way you want to feel. You're the one that makes the choices about how you feel. And you can feel like your circumstances tell you to feel. You can live like your circumstances tell you to live, or you can feel like God tells you that you are in Jesus. You know, there are over 200 identity scriptures just in the New Testament. Over 200 times. It says this is who you are in Him. This is who you are by Him. This is who you are through Him. And I'm telling you, that's who we are. Everybody say, I'm a new creation. Got a new identity. And see, but our problem is we still think about ourselves the way we used to be. We still think about ourselves. That's why water baptism sometimes can be so incredibly important. That's why I'm looking forward to this weekend, you know, is because, man, this is the place where you operate faith in the operation of God. This is where you operate faith in the fact that old man is dead and that you are a new creation. You know, if the old man dead, you got to decide who you're going to be. Hello. And I'm hoping you're going to decide that you're going to be whoever Jesus says you are. Amen? Oh, yeah? All right. Everybody say Christmas with a purpose. Man, you know, last week, like I said, we shared this message about making new traditions. And I tell you, you can make your Christmas however you want to make. You know, if you're a new creation, you can be who you want to be. You know, if you're a new creation, you don't have to do what tradition says. You don't have to do things the way they've always been done. And you don't have to feel bad about it. I know everybody's heard this story about the woman that cut the ends off of her ham. Everybody heard that story? You know, a woman cut the ends off of her ham. She's cooking ham. She cut the ends off of it before she got ready to cook it, put it in the oven. And her husband said, well, why you cut the ends off of the ham? She said, well, that's the way you cook ham. He said, well, no, it looks like to me you're just throwing away a bunch of good ham there, you know? And she says, no, that's the way you cook ham. And he said, well, why? You don't give me a reason. She said, well, it's just the way you do it. You ever just gone to life and just like, this is just the way you do it. This is the way you're supposed to do it. You ever done that? Boy, I have. You ever been wrong? Boy, I have. And so he said, well, I want to know. And so he says, get your mother on the phone. So called her mother up and said, now look, you know, when I cook the ham every year, Christmas, cut the ends off the ham just like you did. And you know, that's the way you taught me how to do it. Now, why do we cut the ends off the ham before we cook it? She said, well, I don't know. That's just what my mother taught me. And so, you know, they call Grandma up, you know, and talk to Grandma and say, Grandma, why did you teach us to cut the ends off the ham? You know, what does that do? Doesn't it make it taste better? Doesn't that make it work better? She said, no, it just when you were growing up that the oven was too small to put a big ham in. Now, it's amazing at the things that we do. We don't even know why we do them. We just do them because that's the way we've always done them. And here's the incredible thing. We talked about this last week. Once something becomes a tradition to you, once it just becomes the way you do it, the problem is it feels right. Isn't that right? Everybody say it feels right. That don't mean it is right. Just because you feel something right don't mean it is right. But it feels normal. Everybody say normal. It feels normal. This is the way you're supposed to do it, you know? But why? I don't know why. This is the way I've always done it. I'll tell you something. And Jesus said this. You know, Jim Richards didn't make this up. Jesus said your traditions, through these things that you've gotten to where you do them just because they feel normal, just because this is the way you've always done them, he says, those things can make the Word of God where it will not work in your life. That's pretty powerful. If something can stop the Word of God from working in your life, honey, it's pretty powerful. And so, you know, we give into these traditions because they seem normal. And the real truth is, and I don't want you to take this negative, because I mean, I'm applying this to me, you know. The real truth is I have to look around at my life and I have to say, to the degree that I feel obligated to my traditions, to the degree that I feel like I should do things the way I've always done them, to that degree, I am not realizing that I'm a new creation in Jesus. Because if I was realizing I was a new creation in Jesus, I realize I have a choice. Yeah, that I can do it that way if I want to, but I got a choice. Don't have to do it that way. Not obligated to do that way. I can live life the way I want to. And I tell you, you can make a new tradition. Matter of fact, you can make every part of your life new. I mean, that's the whole point of getting saved. Make every part of your life new. And if you've been saved a long time and you've developed a bunch of cruddy traditions, you know, you develop cruddy traditions after you get saved, you know. If you develop a bunch of religious traditions or things that aren't working in your life, then say, hey, you know something? I'm a new creation. I'm created in God's image. I can create things, man. I can change this. I don't have to live with it. Everybody say, I don't have to live with it. And you can make your own tradition. So, but today you don't want to talk about Christmas with purpose. Now, you don't have to throw away all the things that you enjoy about Christmas. You know, I was just thinking, Bobby, when you know, Bobby and I went to the same Bible college, and we kind of came up through kind of the same background. And did anybody ever get influenced by idealists when you first got saved? Anybody? Nobody wants to admit it. You know, let me tell you what idealism does for you. It kills. Idealism kills. And you know, I can remember. I don't know if you guys did that. I mean, because you know, we were kind of there close at the same time. But, you know, I can remember sitting around with the guys thinking, well, should we celebrate Christmas or not? Because, you know, Christmas is all carnal. And so, hey, you know, we don't want to go to a pagan ritual, cut down a tree, December the 25th, the day of the sun god. That's what it is, you know. And really, you know, the Catholic Church, I'm not trying to kick the Catholics, but the Catholic Church has basically said, okay, we'll take some pagan ritual holiday and we'll celebrate Christmas that day, and that way the pagans get their holidays, we get our holidays, we're all happy together, and we'll throw a little water on you and see if we can get you to tithe. And so, you know, we look at stuff like that and we start thinking, you know, to have a really spiritual Christmas, then I got to get rid of all this other stuff. See, tradition isn't bad unless tradition interferes with the Word of God. And, you know, that's one of the places that Brenda has helped me, is I would probably be more of an idealistic person if it weren't for the fact that my wife runs my life. If I wasn't scared of that woman, there's no telling what I'd do. I'll just tell you, I want you to know that. I mean, I'm the man I am today because I'm a coward. But, I mean, really, I would probably be one of these hard-nosed idealists if it weren't for the fact that, you know, occasionally my wife just kind of gets me by the cheeks and she says, you know, take a deep breath and listen to me, you know. You know, you don't have to do that. It doesn't have. And so you start realizing, well, wait a minute, I can embrace all of the traditional things about Christmas. And instead of fighting against this stuff, I can say, you know what, how can I take a traditional Christmas but still turn it into a meaningful Christmas? Sing a song for us. Make us feel traditional Christmas. Can you do that?
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the tree to hear sleigh bells. and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. Play something to me.
I never even had a Christmas like that, and I was seeing it in my own mind. You know, we don't want to throw away tradition just because it's tradition. You know, it's not about fighting against something. It's about saying, how can I bring value to this? How can I make Christmas be an incredibly meaningful time? You know, Christmas, you know, it, amidst all of the commercialism, the truth is Christmas is about giving. Everybody say Christmas is about giving. You see, and the giving at Christmas, it was, you know, sometimes we look at, well, see, the three wise men, you know, came and brought the gifts. And of course, if you were here for our Christmas banquet, man, besides the fact that you got some good food, if you were here for our Christmas banquet, you found out that in the Richards translation of the New Testament, it was not three wise men, it was three black ladies that brought the gifts to Jesus. And the reason for that, because if you want something done right, get a woman to do it. If you want it done right with passion, get a black woman to do it. And so it was not three wise men, at least not in my translation, anyhow. But, you know, sometimes we make it about the gifts at the wise men. But that's not why we give gifts at Christmas. That's not what it's about. The reason gift-giving is expressed at Christmas is because God so loved the world that He gave. Man, it was a time that God gave the very best that He had to this world. Everybody say, God gave the best. God gave the best for me. Come on. God gave the best for me. God gave a special gift. God gave a special gift to me. See, that's what makes this about giving. It's because God Himself said, I'm going to initiate something here. I'm going to initiate giving on a scale that nobody's ever seen before. And I'm going to give to the world. Man, that is so incredible. You know, just when I think about it, you know, I talked about this. I don't want to go into it too much because I'll get sidetracked. You can get a copy of the message if you want it. But I talked about this at the Christmas banquet. You think about making a sacrifice. You know, we think we've made sacrifices. Here's Jesus on streets of gold. Here He is. Everything in the universe is upheld by the power of His Word. Now stop and think. It says in the book of Philippians that He emptied Himself. Now I want you to realize He stepped from the Lord of glory to being an embryo that didn't know who He was. You realize when He was laying in that cradle, He wasn't pretending like He didn't know who He was. He didn't know who He was. He wasn't pretending like He couldn't talk. He couldn't talk. He wasn't pretending like He was a baby. He was a baby. He entrusted Himself to God and to mankind. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it amazing that Jesus trusted us enough to say, I'll do this, and I'll believe that there's a godly woman there that'll raise me up and tell me the truth about who I really am. I'll believe that there's a godly man that'll raise me up and teach me how to walk with God. I'll tell you, that's a lot of trust. Amen? I'll tell you, that's what you call giving a really special gift. God gave us a really, really special gift. And that's really the thing that makes Christmas about giving. Now, you may not be able to give what you want. You may not have the money to do what you want, but that's all right. You can still make this about giving. You know, we talked about the heart code a few weeks ago. Everybody remember talking about the heart code? You know, here's the thing about the heart code. Your heart emits a code. It's scientifically proven. Your heart emits a code that is as individual as your fingerprints. In other words, nobody else has the same heart code that you have. But here's another interesting factor. Your heart emits a code that really reflects your motives. That's why whenever you have bad motives, you know, and you're trying to work people or something, even though you might be doing the right thing, it doesn't come across right. They just kind of don't feel right about it because they're picking up something, you know. But you know, here's an incredible thing. Did you know that even when you can't give gifts that are really what you want them to be, when they're really not as nice or as expensive as you want them to be, you know, it's an amazing thing. When the motive of your heart is to make people feel loved and feel valued and feel special, an incredible thing happens. You can just give something to somebody and somehow, on some level, they connect in a way that really they has nothing to do with a gift. It just has everything to do with the intention. You know what I'm talking about? You know, when Brenda and I first got married, I've told you stories about how broke and how poor we were. I'm telling you, we were broke. And, you know, and Brenda, you know, Brenda's got impeccable taste. You know, if she walks through a store, we can walk through a store. And I've done this just to see. If we walk through a store and she just glances at a dress, in other words, if it catches her eye, she may not even stop and look at it, but she just looks over at it, and I'll do this a lot of times, I'll walk over and I'll check that dress, and it's more expensive than any dress on the rack. I mean, this woman has got taste. When I used to do a lot of international traveling, we'd fly out the West Coast, you know, we'd be out in California, and so we'd look around at stuff, and she'd say, I like this, and I like this, and I like this. And, you know, on the East here, we'd never even seen it or heard of it. And you know, if I'd have had the money and the time to be an investor to do it, I would have invested in that, because it would be 6 months later, man, it was selling here on the East Coast, you know, incredibly. Well, you know, she got great taste, she likes good stuff. Man, I couldn't afford anything, you know. And I remember one of the very first gifts I ever got her was a pair of red shoes. And these red shoes, they probably didn't cost but $30 or $40 or something, you know. But the real truth is that might as well have been $400, because I'm telling you, I had to rake and scrape and put money away and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, when you have to buy shoes on layaway, you know it's a little tight. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I got these shoes and you know, probably, I mean, she liked them, but probably the truth is, you know, they were probably so inexpensive, it was probably even hard for her to wear them, you know, in good conscience, you know what I mean? But it was just something that I knew that she liked, and I got them. And, you know, even though they weren't all that great, even though they weren't all that beautiful, boy, I'm telling you, my intention was, I just want you to know that $30 may be all I got, but I just want you to know that this $30 is some way that I can say you're special. It's 30, you know, this pair of shoes is just some way that I can say I just love you better than anything, and this is all I can do right now. And you know what? When that's where you give from, that's where they receive from. And so the thing is you got this opportunity to turn this into just an incredible, incredible time. Because you're gonna make it about giving from the heart. You're going to make it about expressing love. You're going to make it about making people feel special. You know, you can have a kingdom Christmas. Everybody say a kingdom Christmas. You know, a kingdom Christmas is when you decide you're going to make this about the kingdom of God. Everybody say the kingdom of God. Listen to this. It says, and whatever you do, do it heartily or do it wholeheartedly, as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, I want to tell you, whatever you do, you know, whatever you do with this Christmas, you can make this about God. You can make this unto God. You can make this something so valuable. You know, I've shared it with you how that when we first got married, one of the things that we did is just It's just we reached out to people. We reached out and said, you know something? Widows, singles, and divorcees go through incredible pressure and stress. And really, you know, this was born out of my own depression at Christmas. You know, I looked around and I thought, man, I'm married to the woman of my dreams. I've got so many things going for me, and I'm depressed. And really, I remember thinking, I'm fighting with it. What's it like for the people that don't have anybody? What's it like for the people that have lost their loved ones? What's it like for the people that feel alone and feel rejected? You know, you can turn your need into something that drives you into a life of purpose. Can I get over y'all now? Come on. You know, you can realize, boy, if I'm feeling this need, somebody else is feeling this need. If I'm struggling with depression, there's other people struggling with depression. I remember sitting talking to Brenda when we first got married. And I was struggling with this stuff, you know, and just talking about, man, you know, other people got to feel this way. And we decided that we would have a kingdom Christmas. Everybody say a kingdom Christmas. We decided it would be something about the kingdom of God. It wouldn't just be about us. Now let me tell you something. You know, when we invited those people to eat Christmas dinner with us, I want you to realize our cupboards were not full. We didn't have more than enough. We didn't even have enough. And, I mean, we had to rake and scrape and figure out how we were even going to come up with the food to feed these people. And that first Christmas that we did that, man, you know, these people came together and you know, we pulled together what we could and fed these people dinner. And, you know, I got to thinking about this the other day. Actually, yesterday morning, I was just thinking about this. You know, we didn't just invite believers. As a matter of fact, you know, the Bible says if you really want to do something special, it says if you really want to be like God, it says then do good things to the unthankful. Do good things to the unworthy. You know, God, see, we got this idea. God just does good stuff for the worthy and the thankful. I got news for you. That's what makes Him perfect. He's perfect in love. His perfection isn't something that makes Him reject unperfect people. His perfection is something that makes Him connect to people who have issues and problems. And it says, be ye perfect as your Father is perfect. He said, you know, give to the unthankful. Give to the people that can't give back to you. And you know, here's the great thing. It says here, if you do it unto the Lord, it says, the Lord will pay you back. You know what? I can get all into that. Hello? I can get all into God paying me back. I can get all into God being the one that brings me the reward instead of the people. But you know, I was thinking about it yesterday morning. And out of those first people, I don't know how many people came to our first time we did this at our apartments. You know, maybe 20 people or something. But you know something? Nearly, were you there? Is that right? I think nearly every one of those people ended up over time getting saved. Now, they weren't saved. Most of them weren't saved when we invited them to our party. Most of them were struggling, running from God and living in sin and that sort of thing, you know? But it was just about, man, just reaching out and connecting with people and giving them the love of God. Everybody say the love of God. And I'm going to tell you what, you connect with people in the love of God. And I'll tell you, at this Christmas, here's another thing you want to realize too. You know, And I'm really thankful to my family for helping me with this, my immediate family, and my wife and my kids, because, you know, I'm not as bad about holidays as I used to be. Now I have moments of snapping, just almost going into panic and depression, but they usually pull me out of it. But, you know, here's something you want to realize. If you don't make this special now, you're going to have something new to be depressed about next year. If you don't make this great now, then 5 years from now, you're really going to be multiplying all of your bad memories. You know, the real truth is your kids are going to be here and they're going to be gone. Real truth is your parents are going to be here. They're going to be gone. And the time is going to come you're going to be looking back and you're going to be saying, did I really make the opportunities that I had special? Did I really seize that moment and just say, you know what, I may not have everything I want, I may not be able to buy the gifts I want, but you know what, as much as I can, I'm going to make it special about the people that are involved. They got a song for us about making the moment special.
We cried and the tears were sweet. We laughed out loud till we cried and the tears were sweet. Midnight melted to morning, a moment faded to memory. All these days just slip away through our fingers, so
Everybody say, every moment is special. Every moment is full of life. And I tell you, that's what you want to do. Man, you want to take this holiday and you want to say, man, I'm going to make it a kingdom holiday. I am going to make it about giving, but it's going to be about giving from the heart. Everybody say, giving from the heart. Everybody say, I'm going to have a kingdom Christmas. In other words, you're going to make it about the things of God. You know, when you get down to this time of the year, or when you get down to celebrating any occasion, it's just whether or not you bring Jesus into this thing that is really going to determine the quality of it, what your life is going to be. And you know, the truth is you can reach out to people around you, and you can have your family members, you can have other people that can experience something in God that the truth is that they may never experience anywhere else, because they may not come to church with you, or they may never know, be around any other Christians, or if they go to church, they may go to some legalistic mean church and they never really experience what it's like to really know God or experience God on this practical level. You know, I was listening the other day. It's really interesting. I was listening the other day to Way FM, and I tell you honestly, for years, because the Christian radio station in this town was so bad, I just stopped listening to Christian music for years. I mean, because it was just horrible. And I just thank God that there's a decent Christian radio station that you can listen to. And I was listening to him the other day, and this guy was sharing his story, and I thought it was so cool. And he was talking about, evidently, sometime after he and his wife got married, they decided, it was at Christmas, and they decided that they were going to give their life to the Lord. And they sat down and took out some paper, and they wrote out their commitment to God. And they just wrote out that, you know, we're giving our life to you fully. We're laying all of our dreams, everything we, you know, all of our expectations, all of our hopes at your feet, and we're going to live our life for you. And you know, they just wrote out their commitment to God. And he was telling this story that 17 years later, they sat down and opened those envelopes at Christmas and read those commitments that they made. And you know, I tell you what sprang up in my heart. You talk about the ultimate of exchanging gifts. As God gave us the best. And this is the time of year that we celebrate it. It doesn't matter if this was when Jesus was really born or not. That's not the point. What matters is that we take this time to honor this and to celebrate God's giving of the perfect gift. But you know, the incredible thing was, and I just thought about it when I heard this story, is what an exchange to say, God, you gave me this perfect gift. Now I'm going to give you a gift. It's going to be the gift of my life. Man, oh man. Not just in getting born again, but the gift of your life, in that, God, you know, from this day forward, my life's going to belong to you. I'm going to make it a gift to you. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm on my way to heaven. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. But today, I'm making my life a gift. You know something? I'll challenge some of you to do that. Go home and think about, you know, have I really given my life as a gift to God? Christy and I were listening to this song the other day that we're thinking about in the church. It had this one great line in it where he said, where the line says, I'm giving my life to you because it's the life you gave to me. Man, exchanging gifts with God the Father. I challenge you, go home and sit down and say, if my life was a gift to God, if I was making my life a gift to God, how would I write this out? What would I say that I'm really giving Him that's different than anything I've done to this point? And you know, last, I want to wrap this up because, and I don't want to end on a negative note or a down note, but I want to touch on this. You know, I was doing a radio program for a really large radio station in Detroit earlier this week, and so you know, we're going through there, and he's interviewing me, talking about my book, How to Stop the Pain, and so he starts relating the pain to Christmas and how people experience a lot of pain at Christmas. And you know, I guess God just touched his heart and his thing began to become personal. And just in the middle of this interview, he comes out and says, well, Jim, he says, you know, he said, I had a 16 or 17, I don't remember, 16 or 17 year old daughter die about a year ago. And he said, it's hard. He says, it's hard to go through Christmas. He said, we miss her. And he said, the first year was bad. He said, but this, for some reason, this second year is so hard. You know, excuse me, probably everybody here could think back to the people that are not going to be there for Christmas this year. Whether they're not going to be there because of death or because they've moved away or because of divorce or because whatever. And you know, when he asked me that question, he said, what do you do? What do you do with that kind of sorrow? You know what? I really believe that the Holy Spirit just exploded an answer in my heart. And there's two things I told him. First thing I told him was this. You know something? We have this tendency when we miss someone to reach a place where the only way we can hold on to them is by holding on to the pain. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, sometimes the pain of loss is all we have left to hold on to about that person. And we feel like if we let go of the pain, we're going to lose that person forever. You know something? If you let go of the pain, you won't lose that person forever. You'll find a whole new way of having value for that person. You'll find a whole new way of experiencing life right now. And then I told him a second thing that I really thought was just the Holy Ghost. Is this. For all those people that you miss, for all those people that aren't there, why don't you have a Christmas and do something this Christmas that would honor their memory or honor the love that you have for them? You know, there's this incredible thing that happens when you get outside of yourself and you start trying to bring value to other people, bring love to them. It's amazing what happens. You know, I quote Philemon 6 all the time. I pray that you'll be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of all of the good things that are in you in Jesus. See, you know, when you share your faith with somebody, even if they don't get it, something happens in you. And see, our tendency is when this pain, and really, you know, us reaching out, when Brenda got married, us reaching out to all these people, that was the only way I knew to get past my pain. And it was an amazing thing that the grace of God would come alive inside of me, and I would pull out of my depression, and I would pull out of all the struggles that I was having because of the holidays, and suddenly be able to minister to these people and share with these people. And suddenly it's like my issues about the holidays faded off into some place way back behind me somewhere. And I was able to start, you know, experiencing this moment today and experiencing God in this moment today. I want to tell you something. See, when you decide to have a kingdom Christmas, and when you decide to do what will honor the memory of the people that you miss, and you decide to reach out of yourself, I want to tell you, you're going to experience something with God that's going to cause that sense of loss to just fall behind you. And I'll tell you something you can do. If it's somebody, if it's a child that's on the other side of the country or a parent you can't be with, you know what I believe would mean a lot to them? If they're alive somewhere, you know what I believe would mean a lot? Is if you chose what you were going to do and you wrote them a letter. And you said, this is what I'm doing in your honor. This is what I'm doing. You're not here. I can't express my love to you. But I want you to know, this is what I'm going to do to express my love for you. I'm going to express it to these people. You know what? You could even do that for people that are not here. You could sit down and write a letter to that parent or that loved one and say, you're not here except in my memory. If this is what I'm doing to honor my memory of you, and step outside of yourself and believe God to cause something to come in alive inside you that connects with those people and empowers you to leave your past behind. Stand up on your feet with me, if you would, please. A kingdom Christmas. Everybody say a kingdom Christmas. Man, I'm telling you what. A kingdom Christmas. You talking about your world changing? You talking about other people's world changing? Whenever, in fact, you reach beyond yourself and you determine that you're going to do something for other people, you always win and you never lose. Is that the truth? Amen. Now let me ask you, is the way you're going to celebrate this holiday really going to be about giving Him all the honor? Is it really going to be about giving Him all the glory? Have you decided how you can give Him the perfect gift of your life? And how you can give the perfect gift of His love to people around you? You know, there's going to be people who are alone. There's going to be people who need encouragement. There's going to be people who just need friendship and fellowship. And reach out. Reach out, reach out, reach out, reach out. If it's your determination to have a kingdom Christmas this year, raise your hand real high. I want to pray with you and for you. Yeah, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us break away from the limiting traditions of the past, but help us to find a way to enjoy the traditions that we can use to honor You and to glorify Jesus. We want to make this good. Everybody say good. We want to make it good. And we want to make it good for others, not just ourselves, but good for others in Jesus' name. Now just be real quiet for a minute while the band's playing. I want you to think about now. Right now, I'll bet you names are coming to your mind of people that you know you need to reach out to, people you need to have into your home, people that you know that you want to do something special for. Now, right now, you decide. Now, I'm gonna start right now. I'm going to invite that person. I'm going to call them today. I'm going to make sure they know. I want you to spend Christmas with me. I want you to spend time with me over the holidays. Now, Father, we trust You to bring this to our memory. And not let us escape this. In Jesus' name.